concerning the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And it was an issue that came up way back in the third chapter, and now it's coming up again. Actually, it's come up several times through Revelation, but comes up again because we see the end result, if your name is in it or if it's not in it, what the conditions are. And we're going to be looking at that in just a minute. The reason why we're coming up with it again is, one, because it's been that long, and two, because I've come across some information. I read a commentary by another pastor, and I thought, wow, he's really got some good points here. And so I want to take some of the stuff that he has and some of my own stuff and present it to us this morning. But what we're going to be looking at is this whole issue of the book of life, literally a list of names, is the way the scripture describes it, in heaven, in the possession of God. And those that are on this list make it, and those that aren't do not. Looking at this list, but let's consider, first of all, just some lists. I think you'll agree with me that there are a lot of lists out there. There are lists you want to be on, and there's lists you don't want to be on, and you've got to be careful which one you have. I'm not sure if you know about the do not call list. Are you familiar with that? If you're not familiar with that, donotcall.com. Register your cell phone or your home phone with these people. It is true. I've checked it out with Scopes. It's a government entity that blocks telemarketers from using your phone. Every so often, on a cyclical basis, they resubmit the permitted cell phones and or landline phones to these telemarketers, and they have a contract with them that allows them to do this, unless, of course, you check your name off the list. So you get off of their list, and you get on to the do not call list, and so I would highly recommend it to you. Keeps these people from getting a hold of you. That's a list you want to be on. Of course, the list you don't want to be on is the telemarketers list, especially the guys that like to call about supper time or about 10 a.m. I don't know what it is about 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Is it that way for you? I can tell you right now, if the phone rings at 10 a.m., it's of no importance whatsoever. I guarantee it. It's a telemarketer, at least from my experience. That's the way it's been. So we have that kind of list, or another list. Somebody perturbs us, we'll say, you know, that guy is on my, what, list. She is on my list. I know I've said several times, you are so on my list to my kids or to someone else. Not really a list you want to just aspire to be on, someone's list, if you will, because it just simply indicates the fact that you're probably ticking some people off. And so, not a list to be on. There, of course, you know the mafia has a list, right? So does the drug cartel, called a hit list. And it's not they're not just bumping you up against the side of the head when they do that. Not a list you want to be on. Not a popular list, definitely at all. Of course, on the other hand, you have the dean's list. Anybody? I can't really raise my hand, but if you ever made the dean's list, would you like to state that, someone? That's a great list to be on. The dean's list, wow, that's really a coveted position. And, of course, no one likes to be on the waiting list, do you? Hate to wait. We'll get to you. Take a number, right? The waiting list, like it or not, all of our names, everyone in this room, you're on a list somewhere. Whether it be a list at the county courthouse where you were born, county that you were born in, or a list of driver's license numbers at the DMV, you're on a list somewhere. The list for certain of the tax rolls, I know, you know, or the IRS, they've got your number, don't they? They really do. You're on that list, and as much as you'd like to get off of it, you're not going to get off. Well, the Bible speaks of a different list. A list that is far more important, even adding up all the important lists that there could be ever in a person's life to be on, the single list that is in the possession of God, the book of life, it is called in the scriptures, is by far the most important list, the list that literally means everything for your name to be on. And we're going to be spending time this morning looking at what the Bible has to say about that list. But let's begin here in Revelation, which is our jumping off place for this topic. Revelation chapter 20, beginning there in verse 11. John says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence," literally the Greek says, "from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." In other words, they ceased to exist. I mean, if heaven and earth can't find a place to go, they just have to disappear, and that's what happens. We're going to get a new heaven, a new earth, according to chapter 21. And he says, "I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Now, those are plural books, and I want you to, they're a separate group from a single book that's going to come up in just a second. Books were open, and another book, singular, was open, which he says is the book of life. Like I said, this is the third time now, or the fourth time, I should say, that this book of life has been brought up in the book of Revelation, and I don't know how many times it's been brought up in the Bible. But this is the topic or the thing we're going to be looking at. But let's continue to read here because the clincher is yet to come. And the dead were judged from the things which are written in the books, plural, not the single book, but the other books that were opened the first time, according to their deeds. And that's always bad news. Always bad news in the Bible when someone is judged according to their deeds, because nobody's perfect. The only person that is good to go with regards to his deeds is the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the single human being who lived perfect. Everyone else that gets judged according to their deeds, something's going to come up that says you were not perfect, that you broke God's laws. And those are eternal laws, and they require eternal punishment. So anytime you're judged by your deeds, you're in trouble. All of us are. These people are. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, again, there it is, according to their deeds. Bad news. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, the list, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Sobering words. There is a list that is in the possession of God, by far the most important list that your name can ever be on. Most important list, by far. What we're going to be looking at this morning is, what does the Bible have to say about this? And most importantly, how do we make sure our names are on it? If everyone's name who's not on it gets thrown into the lake of fire, that's not where I want to be, not where you want to be. How do we make certain that our names are on the list? Well, we're going to be considering some verses together here in just a second, but let me just ask you this question, because I want to come back to it on a regular basis as we go through this as I speak to you this morning. Is your name on this list? Is your name on this list? It is of utmost priority and utmost concern for you that your name be on this list. And so listen carefully to what I have to say this morning. Is your name on this list? Well, let me provide some scriptural background that gives more validation to this question. Beginning, for instance, this is not the best passage about the list, if you will, but it is one that refers to it. Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. And he sends them ahead of him as he's traveling from Galilee south to Judea, which is where Jerusalem is, ultimately to be crucified. He's headed that way. He sends them into the villages in front of him two by two. And as they go, he says, I give you power. He gave them power over the demons, power to do miracles, power to do all kinds of things, power to make blessings and curses and all this kind of stuff. And so the disciples go and they have this incredible experience, and then they come back to Jesus basically, and he gives them a brief debriefing here. And I want you to hear what they have to say. They're just excited about the fact that especially demons even submit to them. They're familiar with demons, but demons were always more powerful than they were. And under the name of Christ, the demons even submit to them. Wow, a little surge there. Notice what Jesus says. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Now, he's not talking about the literal ones. There's some churches that have interpreted it that way. And if you're in the hills in Tennessee somewhere and they come in with a wooden box with ropes on both ends, ask them where they would like to have a door, because that's where you need to go, straight out of there. They take that literally. It is literal, but it's speaking of something much worse than something with scales or something with a stinger. It's speaking of spiritual entities that are referred to in a physical sense. Satan, for instance, was referred to as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. So serpents and scorpions are referring to demons. Over all the power, notice, of the enemy, not of wildlife. And nothing shall injure you, he says. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. In other words, you had a great time out there, guys. You did some great ministry. You were blown away by the stuff that can happen in my name. But don't get overjoyed. Don't get up beside yourself. That isn't the big deal. The big deal, guys, is that your names are written in heaven, if you will, on a list. The best list. The most important list. there could possibly be. Let me give you a case scenario, a hypothetical situation. What if, for instance, in Cameron County, which is where you sit on the tip of right now, Cameron County, Texas, there was an imminent and certain threat of nuclear disaster. There was going to be a nuclear explosion, some kind of terrorist event or who knows what, and the nuclear bomb that was going to be detonated was a bomb big enough to kill basically everyone in this county. There were big enough ones to do that. And we know it, and the government knew it was coming, and so they planned ahead and they built a bunker somewhere in the middle of our county. The problem with the bunker is that it's not capable of holding the entire population of Cameron County. And let's say you had no other options but to stay in this county even though you know the nuclear disaster is coming. And what you know is that though this nuclear bunker, if you will, that protects from this bomb is there, that it doesn't hold enough people. But what you're told is that if your name is on a list, only the ones on a list will be allowed in. What kind of trouble would you go to get your name on that list? The names of your loved ones on that list? Well, let me say something to you. There's a far worse disaster coming with much greater effect. And the effects of it are eternal. And those who are not on a list will be destroyed. Daniel speaks of this list in the Old Testament. Listen to what he says. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, "And there will be a time of distress, such as never has occurred since there was a nation until that time." He's speaking of the end times, which is the subject of Revelation. "There will come a time of distress that has never been. And at that time," the angel says to Daniel, "your people," everyone, notice, "who is found written in the book will be rescued." Everyone, but, and by the way, the opposite is also true. Everyone not found written will not be rescued. Several things we can know from this verse that applies to our knowledge of this book. Number one, there is a book, a list, very plainly. Angel states it here to Daniel. Number two, names of people are written on this list. Number three, those thus recorded will be delivered, right? They'll be rescued. And those who are not recorded will not. Very clear teaching. Impossible to mistake. The teachings of Scripture concerning this book, this list. Let's see what else the Bible has to say and what we can learn about this book. First of all, or among them, is that according to the Scriptures, names can be blotted out of this book. Exodus chapter 32, verses 32 and 33. What happened here is that God had taken Moses up on the mountain. He'd given him the Ten Commandments, but he's up there 40 days and 40 nights. The people became impatient. Where is this Moses? So they go to his brother Aaron and says, "What's happened to Moses?" He says, "I don't know." They said, "Well, listen, we need you to make us a god," they said. "Make us a god that we can see." They were used to worshiping idols. They weren't used to this no visible God, which is the God of the Bible. You can't see him. He doesn't reveal himself. They're not used to that. So he said, "Make us a god. We'll name him Jehovah. We'll name him the God of the Bible. It doesn't matter what you call him. It's still an idol. And we'll worship him." So they do this, and God sends Moses down. And because of this, 3,000 people die, this great sin that they've committed. And Moses is in a prayer to God saying, "Listen, please forgive these people. Please have mercy on them. God is capable and angry enough to wipe them all out." In fact, he's told Moses, "I'm going to wipe them out and I'm going to raise up a nation through you." Moses says, "Please don't do this." He's pleading with God. He basically places himself between the nation of Israel and God. And notice what he says. Now, that's a big statement, by the way. But now, please, he says, "forgive their sin, but if not, then blot me out of the book that you have written." Now, let me just say this. That's a pastor, guys. That's a real pastor. I ain't that good. You mess with me the way they mess with Moses, and I'll just ask to watch God kill you, okay? I'm praying someday to be that nice of a person, but this guy is something else. I mean, he's willing to lay it all down, eternally so, for these people who are good for nothing. They really were. But he loved them, and he laid himself down. But notice what God's response is to him. The Lord replied to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book." In other words, you let me worry about that. I'm going to deal with the people who need to be dealt with. Could it be possible that everyone's name is written in this book to begin with? And that as time goes by, as we make our choices about eternity, which is what this life is about, that as we make our choice, if we make the wrong one, that our names are consequently blotted out? Could it be possible? It's hard to build a rock-solid theology based upon this verse, but it is clear that, at least apparently, some names get blotted out of this book, and that's sobering. New Testament, this is Old Testament. New Testament writers were also very familiar with this book. Here's one of many examples Paul writes to the Philippian church. He says this, "Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers," notice again, "whose names are in the book of life." So notice again, clearly we can understand from this verse, there is a book. Names are written on this book, and even more interesting, we can know whose names are there. Paul knew whose names are written there. He obviously thought his was, and certainly it was, but he knew these other people were. So there's some criterion by which our names are either on it or off of it. And the criterion is written very plainly in the Scriptures in multiple places, and we're going to get to that in just a second. Now we come to this place in where we are in our study here in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And in the Revelation, we have four different times in which this whole issue of the book of life comes up, and we're not going to look at all of them. We looked at one of the references here in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, but we're not going to put them all up on the screen for you. But here's some of the things that we learn. First of all, we've seen already, and it says it every time it shows up in the Revelation, that this book is called the book of life. It's the book of life. In other words, if your name is in this book, you live forever. And if your name is not in this book, you do not live forever. It's extremely plain. You're either on it or you're off it. And it is a list, to be sure, that you definitely want to be on. Not only is it called the book of life in the book of Revelation, but it's called the Lamb's book of life, very specifically. It's given that title. The Lamb's book of life. The Lamb, speaking of what one of the titles of Jesus Christ. He's called the Lamb of God. It's a picture, if you will, or a title that relates what He did upon the cross to what was done in the Old Testament. When a person sinned, they brought a lamb innocent. And this lamb was killed in their place. Sin requires the death of the one who commits it. So the lamb was taken in the place of the person. The blood of the lamb covered the person's sin. And so the ultimate lamb, if you will, of God, even though Jesus was certainly a human being, not a fuzzy animal. The Lamb of God, though, in a figurative sense, was the Son of God Himself. And so this book belongs to the Son of God. The Son of God who laid His life down, who gave Himself up for us. So here's what we can know from that. It is the Lamb's book of life. It's in His possession and in His control. So no one has the power to add or subtract from that book. Not me, not you, not the Pope, not a priest, not the President. Not anybody, not all of us get together if we have a democratic vote or a totalitarian vote and we decide who's going to be on it or who's not going to be on it. We have no power over it. We have no way to decide. We have no ability to change it. We could all pray and ask God to change it, but it's not our power. It's His power. It's within His possession. And so here's what you need to know. You want your name in that book, you have to deal with the Lamb of God. And again, a whole issue aside of how you live and what you do and your religion and what you believe, those are side issues. You have to have personal, listen, consultation with the Lamb of God or you're in trouble. You can come to church and you can listen to, I know I'm good. I'm real good, right? Especially, you know, telling you that I just stand by and watch as you all go over the cliff there. You can listen, we can sing, we can do all kinds of stuff, but I'm telling you, unless you have a personal contact with the Lamb of God, you're in trouble. It's His book. And if your name's not in that book, you're messed up. Forever and ever, you are. Forever and ever. The Bible tells us in not so many words that literally the pen that inscribes your name is the cross that He hung on. And the ink that is used to write your name is none other than the blood that He shed. The Son of God came and He laid His life down by death on a cross. He shed His blood. And that blood, that death, paid for the world's sins. But that is not credited to you individually until you accept what he did. You have to personally accept what he did on the cross. You have to accept the act that he did on the cross, which was to die for you and for your sins, and the payment that he paid for you, with which was his blood. Yes, he lived a good life, but that didn't pay for your sins. Yes, he did miracles, but that didn't pay for your sins. Yes, he made good teachings, but that didn't pay for your sins. He came to pay for you. And you have to say, if you will, I accept. Have you done that? If you haven't done that, your name, listen, is not on the list. You're in grave danger. You're in grave danger. Is your name on God's list? And some will say, well, how can we ever know? There's no way to know for certain. And let me just say this to you. That's a lie. We can know for certain. We can know for certain because Jesus made it very plain here. We already read it. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Rejoice, he told the disciples, that your names are recorded in heaven. How can we rejoice over something that we aren't certain about? It doesn't make any sense. Don't tell me you can't know. The Bible says it very plainly. You can know. It's a lie. It's a lie that says you can't know. No, it's certain. You can know right now whether your name is on that list. And here's how you know. Have you dealt personally with the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Have you personally accepted what he did on the cross and the blood that he shed as your only way? You've forsaken your religion, your good deeds. You've forsaken all those things that you've done that you think may be to your credit, the things that you were going to say when you stood before God one of these days, which mean absolutely zip. You forsake all those things and you turn to the Son of God, who alone has sacrificed himself for you and made the payment, and you say, I accept. I accept. Forgive my sins. Be my Savior. Have you done that? If you have not, your name is not on the most important list there ever was or ever will be, God's list. There were parents that drove 30 minutes to pick up their little girl from camp, church camp. And boy, she gets in the car and she's all excited and she's telling the stories of all the things that she did and how many the friends that she made and the stuff that she learned and the crafts that they did and the games that they played and all this. And so they're just bopping along there about to get to the house, and on the way home they have to pass the public library. And about the time they get in front of the public library, the little girl says, stop the car! The dad was like, what? What's the matter? She thought she was in pain or something had happened to her. Stop the car, she said. And he said, what's the matter, sweetheart? She said, listen, I got to go into that library. He said, well, we can do that later. No, Dad, I got to do it right now. And he said, well, why, sweetheart? He said, because the preacher at camp said that our name, unless our name is written in God's book, in the book of life, that we will not go to heaven. She says, I want to go into that library and I'm going to find that book and I want to make sure my name is in there. You know, as mistaken as it is, there's one thing that's not mistaken. It's of absolute urgency. More important than anything else. More important than anything, any other plans you've got, any directions you go, more important than anything else you do in life is to be certain that your name is in that book. That your name is on that list. I can't put it there. I can't put it there. Not even you can put it there. Only the Son of God can put it there. So you must deal with Him. Would you do that this morning? I'm going to ask you if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. You must have a personal encounter with the Son of God in which you trust Him. You trust what He did on the cross to be the payment for your sin. In which you say, I accept for the offer that He makes of you of peace and forgiveness that comes only through the cross and only through the blood that He shed. Have you done that? I want to give you a chance to do that right now. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you can ask Jesus to be your Savior right there. I don't think I need to pray a prayer for you. I believe the heart that wants it will say something like this: Jesus, save me, forgive me. Jesus, I accept. Something that means, that's meaningful to you, speaking directly to the Savior in your heart. He's listening. He's waiting. He hung on a cross. He paid an incredible price. Believe me, He wants to hear. It's not His will, the Scripture says, that any should perish. Not His will that it comes to the end here when those whose names are not on the list are thrown into the lake of fire, even though the Bible says it's going to happen that way. But those people are going to be doing that apart from His will. The will of God is that you be rescued, that you be saved, that you trust Christ, and you trust what He did for you as your only payment, your only chance, and by so doing, your name being recorded on that list.